It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Governor Tom Corbett's administration is reviewing the practices of companies named in a grand jury report that led to charges against six men as part of an alleged pay-to-play scheme at the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission. The governor also said earlier this month that the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation will rebid an $8.6 million information technology contract that was recently awarded to a Colorado-based company called Cyber. Meanwhile, a bill sponsored by State Representative Donna Oberlander, a Clarion County Republican, would disband the commission and roll the Turnpike operation into PennDOT. I'm joined now by phone by Turnpike CEO Mark Compton, who took over the post in December. Mark Compton, thank you for joining us and welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be with you.
And if our listeners have a comment or question for our guest, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Turnpike CEO Mark Compton, I'll start by asking you what your reaction has been to the grand jury report.
I must tell you, Paul, as this thing has played out over the last month, it's gone from shock to disgust to, I guess now, understanding what we're dealing with and beginning to make the necessary changes as we move forward. The saddest part for me about the 85-page report was the manner in which some of the employees who are still with us were treated as part of the effort. So I guess the biggest cause for concern for me was really that.
There was a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette editorial recently that stated that in referring to you, said that the Turnpike's new CEO may have good intentions, but he serves at the pleasure of commissioners who are appointed by politicians and in some cases are former politicians themselves or fundraisers for politicians. What can you do to change what, based on the allegations, is clearly a culture of corruption?
Well, let me tell you what has been done. And I took the post February 1st and began the transition to take the post in December. And I must tell you, all my interactions with the commissioners have been outstanding. Their support of me has been great. And all the discussions that we've had about transparency, about openness, about changing the culture, as a lot of the ideas that I've come up with have been through their guidance. So my interaction with the current set of commissioners has been great. Now, to your point, the process to change the organization has really started over the past 2 years, in which the procurement process has been, as I say, totally upended in the new way in which the commission has done business. And that was before I started, and that was under the leadership of the current commissioners.
Can you, at the end of the day, take the politics out of running the Pennsylvania Turnpike? Because that is the thing that people feel and are pointing to as the root cause of the problems that you have inherited as the CEO.
Well, politics is a big term. And politics is essential to what we do with things like Act 44, which the governor has called for the sunset of Act 44, which, as you know, is the obligation that the Turnpike is currently under to send $450 million to PennDOT on an annual basis, $250 for transit and $200 for highway construction. So there are appropriate levels of politics, or what I would say is coordination with the House and Senate, that are necessary as part of a public entity. I think the better question is there a way to ensure that the interactions are appropriate? And I certainly think there's a way to ensure that the interactions can be and should be and will be appropriate.
What were your initial ideas, Mark, to deal with the corruption and begin repairing the agency's image? What steps have you been able to take so far?
You know, what we started was a comprehensive contract review. And probably the last thing on it that was stated public was to start during the term of the grand jury, which was up till about 2 years ago. Well, what we decided to do, because at times contracts get amended, at times they get continued. So we've actually taken the review of all the contracts up until current time, current day. And we started a process based on size of the contract, as well as remaining costs to start with those, and then to work backwards. So we're well underway on the comprehensive review of all the contracts and the procurement in which those contracts were procured. We're also in the process of looking internally at how the employees are now not just expected, but will be required to call out any type of corruption or any, not just corruption, but in bad business practices that they would find as part of their job. No one knows the job better than the person doing it. It's our job to make sure we allow them to do it. And doing so, if they see things that aren't done in accordance with the way they believe they should be, they have an obligation to report that to their superior. If they're not, for some reason, comfortable with their superior, they should come to me. And if they're not, comfortable with me, they should come to the newly formed Chief Compliance Organization, or newly formed Compliance Office, which we have now in place, the Chief Compliance Officer, 25 years of FBI experience. He leads the organization on the compliance side, and it's not just him. There's folks who work under him, one on sort of the fraud side and the other on the business practice side. So we're also working internally with our leadership and with training to ensure that internally the culture has changed. And thirdly, the thing that we're also invested in is ensuring as we go forward. You mentioned that at the top of the program, the review that Governor Corbett has called. We too are going to work with his office of chief counsel on that review and talk about and look towards what type of code of conduct do we need to be working on with business partners. The indictment showed there's two sides to a bribe, if you will. And in so, we need to make sure that our business partners also understand our rules and follow our rules.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. Our guest is Turnpike CEO Mark Compton. If you have a comment or question for our guest, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Mark, I want to go back to what you were saying about encouraging employees at the Turnpike to be whistleblowers and to step up and point out misappropriate behavior and actions on the part of officials. I'm curious what kind of a reaction you have received from people who would understandably be reluctant to do that when, in the past, Turnpike employees, as we've seen from this grand jury testimony, have been marginalized or gotten bad reviews for whistleblowing and eventually been forced to leave the Turnpike Authority because of what they thought was their moral obligation to do.
Paul, it's a good point. And I must tell you, in the 6 weeks that I've been at the, I'm sorry, 2 months now that I've been at the Turnpike, I've received over four anonymous letters from employees who were questioning business practices and alike, which obviously I turned over to our chief compliance officer to review. My whole time at PennDOT in the two years that I was there, I think we received one. So what that tells me is that the culture, I can't just change the policy and expect it to work. So what we need to do is we are changing the policy, and we're going to promote that and talk about it. But we've also formed a leadership group with our senior managers to work on what are the training programs that need to be put in place so employees know that it's okay and it's required to do this now. Some things to make sure that I'm more visible in the workforce. Why I'm talking to you by my cell phone is because with our maintenance director, we're down in the maintenance yards down in our Philadelphia area. So we're working hard with the executive team to make sure we're more visible, to know that we we can't stand for this anymore. So it's a work in progress, and no one's declaring victory by changing a policy. But we're gonna work real hard until we get some signs that that folks are comfortable coming forward.
Did you have reservations about taking on this job, Mark, knowing that you would be under a lot of scrutiny?
No question. The Turnpike's had a rough couple months, but I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be the CEO of this organization, and I must tell you, the team that is in place are people that I'm honored to call colleagues, and that they are the right people for the job, and I just happened to join them. So, no, I haven't looked back a day.
What do you say to legislators who feel that your responses to repairing the image of the agency are not good enough?
I say to them is, I know what I'm giving you now are my words. And from my perspective, my words do mean a lot, but they're just words. And we need to prove with actions that we're going to back up these words. And that's what I'm committed to do. So if afforded the time, we're going to show them, and we're going to continue to communicate to all our stakeholders, members of the public, users of the system, our employees, the things that we're doing to make the changes necessary. And what I can do is just continue to show them that we mean what we say.
Our guest is Turnpike CEO Mark Compton, who has been on the job officially since February. If you have a comment or a question for our guest about the challenge of cleaning up the corruption within the Turnpike Authority, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We'll continue with Mark Compton when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the allegations and the fallout after grand jury testimony regarding the pay-to-play scheme at the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission. Our guest is the new Turnpike CEO, Mark Compton, and our phone number is 412-246-2002 if you'd like to take part in the conversation. Our email address, esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. We received this email from Neil. He says, I'm writing to invite Mr. Compton to comment on the press release made at the end of 2011 on EV quick chargers to be installed at all service plazas on the PA Turnpike, on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, by the summer of 2013. Summer is quickly approaching, and I have found no new updates on this program on the Turnpike website. Is this program one that has fallen victim to indiscretion? Any comments or updates on the project would be appreciated. And again, that's from Neil.
I think what we can, as I understand the process is still well underway to make sure that we have EV chargers out on the Pike system through the service plazas. On the timeline specifically, I'll need to get back to you, Paul, and also update or commit to have an update to that on our website by the end of the week on all things that we're doing for the convenience of our customers at our service plazas. I know we're also looking towards CNG-type vehicles for our own fleet, and in doing so, we're also talking with service plazas about the use of fueling stations for those type of vehicles as well. So we've spent a lot of time on alternative energy type vehicles and how we can make sure that our users can use that on our system. But on the timeline itself, I'll need to get back to you to Neil on that.
Okay, fair enough. I want to get to some other issues in the time that we have remaining, but one thing that I wanted to go back and bring up with regard to, again, the grand jury testimony surrounding the whole pay-for-play scandal. There was an unnamed witness who went before the grand jury who said that despite the recent disclosures, the audits, the newspaper articles, and all of the desires to make things better, that the corruption continues. And he went on to compare the turnpike to the Mesopotamia River. All of the animals come to drink here. If you were an engineering firm or a law firm or a consulting firm or whatever, you go to the turnpike because that is where the money is. End quote. It's pretty damning testimony. And we have heard in the past, and it's been pointed out, that there have been calls for reform in 1981, 1996, and in other years. So what would you say, Mark, to the skeptics who are wondering what will be different this time around?
I believe what's different this time around is the transparency and openness, which now comes with things like social media and websites, and our ability to make sure all of our procurements are done in accordance with the standards that we set out, with the policies that we have, and then the results of that are shown and demonstrated. Our commissioners now, how the procurement process currently works is there are professionals who make a selection internally. So to make a long story short, if you have if it's an engineering contract, the engineers are the selection committee, and then the directors approve it. Note that myself or the C-level, which CEO or CIO, no longer sit on this board, and then the ones that make highly qualified are then forwarded to the commissioners to vote on. The only ones they see are the highly recommended firms. It's important that we keep the firewalls in place around the staff, that there's no involvement from ourselves, from the commissioners, and from legislators or whomever through that process, to keep those firewalls in place. Some of the policies and procedures that the Turnpike had probably aren't. Some of the policies that they had in place, I think now it's changed to the point to where that interaction can no longer occur at the project level. So, and we're going to keep working on it and make sure that continues to be the case. So I think that coupled with the pre-qual process that we follow along with PennDOT and DGS to make sure that only qualified firms are able to bid on projects are just another layer of things that we continue to do to make sure that there's no involvement.
I mentioned earlier the legislative proposal to disband the commission and roll the Turnpike operation into PennDOT. Why shouldn't the Turnpike be brought under the auspices of PennDOT?
Well, what I can share with you, as you know, I've been in both places. I was at PennDOT prior to my time here with the Turnpike. And candidly, I don't need legislation to tell me that there's redundancy in the system. I know that from my time at PennDOT, and from my time here. We spent the last 2 years on an effort called Mapping the Future, which is to take a look at all the redundancy. Nothing drives me more nuts than standing in one of our stockpiles and looking across the street and seeing a PennDOT stockpile. So we're working on that. We don't need to have two piles of salt, so to speak. So we're working on that redundancy, and we have been for the past 2 years. We need to continue to do so on things like engineering, on things like software purchases, and on things like equipment, and where we can be sharing equipment and those things. So we're working real hard, and we'll continue to do so with or without legislation to take a look at all the redundancies. Governor Corbett has been very much about that since he's taken office, where he said, guys, I want you to draw circles around your agencies. You guys are sister companies, and in everything you do, if you've got physical plants beside each other, you need to talk and figure out why you have that. And we've really spent a lot of time on working through that effort. To your question, if you wanted the Pennsylvania Turnpike to operate and act like any other road in the PennDOT system, your way, 79, Interstate 79 or 70 or what have you, PennDOT could probably take over the 500 miles of road. I know that from being there. But heretofore, no one has wanted that to happen because the Turnpike has been different. And now under Act 44, where the Turnpike has been monetized, as you know, our debt count right now is about $8 billion. These are some questions as to how you could combine the two, understanding that in order to keep the debt rating at the level that it's to keep our bond ratings at the level that we're at requires commissioners to make an annual change in their toll rates. We haven't had a transportation bill in 16 years. So the likelihood of that happening under a system that would be dictated by the legislature, I'm not sure what happens to the debt structure, the cost of the debt, and no one wants to raise rates on the ratepayers. I assure you, it's a painful discussion and for the commissioners. Well, but in order to be part of the enterprise and to fulfill the obligations under Act 44, it's required.
And I would ask you, how do you, in spite of these requirements, average citizen in Pennsylvania might be wondering how you justify raising the rates when, in the view of some and in light of recent events, a more efficiently run turnpike might mitigate the costs.
But there's no question. There's no question we need to do more on the efficiency side of our organization here at the turnpike. And I would tell you, when I was at PennDOT, there's still efficiencies to be gained. If you're not finding efficiencies in the things you're doing, you're not leading your organization correctly. I would tell you, though, with our budget of roughly $700 million or so, an annual payment of $450 million, I'm not sure how you could ever find that level of efficiency. And that's just the Act 44. That's before any dollar goes onto our own system. Efficiencies need to be a part of us for us moving forward. We need to take a look at all efficiencies and everything. And we need to work with our business partners who are doing the contracts to make sure that their costs are in line with what they say that they can do. But we can't efficiency our way out of this thing. And that's speaking for the whole transportation policy.
Couple last quick questions. Where does all this leave the future of the Easy Pass?
Yeah, we are in the process of what we call all electronic tolling, which is a five-year goal to automate the system entirely. And we are still on the track to do so. The five-year clock starts ticking July 1. So as long as we stay on task within 5 years, the turnpike will be automated, in which it would be completely cashless. The turnpike, as you know, it would look much different. Our turnpike would the interchanges would look a lot more like you'd see on Interstate 80 or on 79, and all of the collection would be done through gantry tolling on the main line of the system. So that is in place to continue. And we look forward to walking through that process over the next 5 years.
And the last question for you, Mark, what about the toll takers? What happens to them?
Yeah, the beauty of this process is that it's 5 years. And the other side of our organization, on the maintenance side of the business, within the next 5 years, that's where we're going to see a lot of significant amount of retirements. So we are working with those folks already on some workforce training. One of which would be if they want to make the jump over to the maintenance side, we'll make sure they get their CDLs, so they're properly trained and can stay with us on that side. We'll also look at other parts of the commission to see if we can fold them in there, understanding that still won't be enough. We're currently in the process of working with the Civil Service Commission, and we're going to be working with agencies like PennDOT. For instance, the driver license centers that you have in your urban centers there in Pittsburgh, we sometimes struggle to get folks to apply and take on some of those positions. So we would work with the Civil Service Commission because we think the retail nature of our business relates well to that. So we'd like to work with the Civil Service Commission to get them into the testing process to get into some of those jobs. And we're going to do the same across state. We've already contacted CareerLink. So we're working with them through labor and industry to begin the transition. And candidly, we've also gotten calls from private sector employers who said, when your employees are transitioning out, we'd like an opportunity to come and meet with them and talk about talk about taking them. So as it relates to this process and the transition over the next 5 years, I'm spending most of my time on this issue, on the workforce piece, because I just think it's the right thing to do as an employer.
Pennsylvania Turnpike CEO Mark Compton has been our guest. Mr. Compton, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Paul. Anytime.